Welcome to the Nerdiverse. Go ahead, sit and listen to the masters, the old heads, talk about what you love the most. Video games, comics, movies, and everything you need to maintain. We got the knowledge that's straight out the ether. Gonna need a drink and have to take a seat to expand your mind and listen to the speaker. Mike and the squad's gonna give you what you need. Please send in a question, come and get some answers, learn a couple lessons from the masters with the special guests. We got the green lanterns glowing on our chest. Yes, please sit back and relax, cause we gonna hit you with them stone cold facts. And allow me to be the very first to welcome you to the masters of the Nerdiverse. Welcome to Masters of the Nerdiverse, where we always have such sights to show you. You could find this supernova of a podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. I'm, of course, your host, Mike G. And with me, as always, is our super awesome co-host, Winter.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Winter at Trash Monk III. That's Trash Monk III.
Yeah.
It's getting better every time I do it. Yeah, you know, I've gotten the okay from the Latino community and good to go. And I don't know what I'm going to say.
No worries,
that's
man.
Just the power of Subway.
Eat fresh.
Yeah,
dude,
there was nothing fresh about this, by the way.
Wow.
I've made it my life's mission to make my Subway sandwiches not that healthy. So
yeah,
I always get the spicy Italian. So that's salami, pepperoni, and I think something else greasy.
Nice.
And then I put provolone on that, have them, and I make it deluxe. So they put on more meat. Yes.
All the meat.
So then they put it into the oven, heat it up, and they don't even, like, you can see the pile of oil and they don't wipe it off.
Nah.
So I'm kind of gagging a little bit now talking about it. So I have them put olive to tomato and lettuce to be healthy, and then salt and pepper to be healthy, and some vinaigrette. And by the time this is over, they're having a hard time closing the sandwich.
Yeah, man.
But it's so good.
It's like that one Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode with the brood witch, you know, where it had the most spiciest of mustards, and the more you eat the sandwich,
I've only watched one Aqua Teen Hunger Force episode, if I'm not gonna lie to you. It was the one with Danzig.
That was a good episode, though.
Yeah,
is that the one where Danzig moved in next door?
Yeah, that's the one that he moved in. I was more of a King of the Hill reruns. Do you like King of the Hill?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right.
It's all right.
Well, you're not the intended audience. How about that?
And you're not the intended audience.
The show wasn't meant for you.
No, man. I don't knock it, though. It's not like I don't like it. I have some episodes that stick in my brain. You know what I mean? Like the one where they were having like fire ants at the house. And Dale Dribble said he had like a special vendetta with fire ants. And they all bit him at the same time, and he almost died.
Right.
That was a dumb episode.
My favorite episode of King of the Hill has to be when Bobby Hill goes to college for comedy.
Oh, geez.
And it's like the director is like what you would think, like over the top, has broken down comedy to its essence. And now it's like, here's a bit from the medieval times. This would have been considered comedy back then.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, it just rang so true to me because of how my mind was going of like, that's the punchline right there. And they're making a tie into Lenny Bruce here. That's clearly rip off of Joe Rogan.
Dang.
Carlos Mencia.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah. Lenny, you look up Lenny. Actually, do not look up Lenny Bruce.
No, don't do it. That I will agree not to do that.
Yeah. Unless you can handle it.
You can't handle his fire. You can't handle his,
yeah, his fuego.
His fuego. Mi corazón es en fuego. En fuego. Mm-hmm. You don't know that reference, but that's okay. It's okay. Somebody out there knew it. And they finished the line, which is what I hope. With all the weird little references we drop on this show, in my heart of hearts, I hope someone listening finishes the line internally and snickers just a little bit. That's the audience I
need. That's my audience. The one guy in the corner going,
huh. Right. That's my pure audience right there. I just, you know, you know, that's
right.
That's what it's all about, man.
So how was your week?
Okay.
I'm gonna flip it. You tell me what your week was like first.
Dang. This is the Bizarro episode. Bizarro, I love you, Bizarro. Dang.
So people can't skip over what I say.
Dang, no, they just skip over what I'm talking about.
Get to the thing. I always go first.
Get to the freaking news. We have lives, ladies and gentlemen. No, I didn't do anything. I just hung out and didn't watch any movies. Usually I have like my little podcast homework, like watching a movie, do something interesting. I'm like, my life, anywho. So I didn't watch any really thing new. The only interesting thing I did, which really made me mad, was my buddy invited me over to his spot, and he was like, bring Street Fighter 5. And I'm like, you sure?
Bring Street Fighter
5. He's like, bring an extra controller in Street Fighter 5. And I'm like, you don't want this smoke, dude. Like, you don't want that kind of trouble. He was like, no, we just get some sets in and have a good time. So I'm like, whatever. I haven't played the game since like season one when it first came out. So I'm like, oh, fine. So I brought it over, I hung out with him, and we played video games, and at the end of the day, I got the itch to play it again. Like, oh, I want to play this again, but I have to go through a bunch of downloads to get it back to where it's supposed to be on my system. And pretty much I had to go through a bunch of downloads to get it back to where it's supposed to be on the system. Got to play with my old arcade stick and get back into it. And what made me mad was, it's like, oh, I forgot Blanka came out. So that's like my favorite fighting game character of all time. So I could play as Blanka. How was that going to work? And the sucky thing about it is that you can't just get the character individually. You have to buy the season pack, which is like super expensive. And I'm like, I just want him though. I don't care about all the other stuff around it. I just want my cold cut combo. I don't want the chips and the soda and the fanfare of it all. So I ended up doing all that downloading and preparing for nothing. So I just was like, oh, so. That's pretty much what I did with my week, was get all that set up. And to much of my dismay, it was all for naught. But eventually I'll be able to play as Blanka Chan and put in work online. So what did you do with your week, man?
Well, my week was a payday, so I spent some money. I bought a new video card for the Frankenstein Tower that I have at my house.
You know, people are going to have to know. So what kind of card did you get?
So right now, the tower is old, so it's a HD 6770 Radeon, AMD Radeon card. I think that's 5 years old. And so then I went, I don't want to go too far high up. My budget was low, like under $100. Mm-hmm. So I just went a few steps, a generation higher, with an RX 560.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Yeah. So slightly improvable frame rates. Like the one that I have right now, the HD 6770, is not on this chart that I had that ranked GPUs. They did not have a rating for this because it's that old, and 560 is kind of like on the bottom level. Is on the bottom level. It's starting to get a rating, but it was $60. So what am I gonna complain about? And it's gonna last me. I felt comfortable paying $60 because this is like the first time I've ever installed a video card, in my life. So. It's a learning thing, and it's kind of going with the theme of this is a Frankenstein monster of like just buying used parts and putting it together, which I enjoy.
Did you get it running?
Well, it's supposed to be coming tomorrow. Oh, so
you're still waiting for it to come.
Stay tuned. Yeah. Mm. I bought it off eBay. Hey. I like to live life on the edge, folks.
He lives life dangerously.
Yeah. So that's coming. And I also bought a cheap Dell monitor coming that's rotational. So I'm going to be one of those guys that has a portrait mode monitor.
Nice.
On his desk, along with a normal one.
So you're going to be sword fishing it up? Are you going to be Hugh Jackman in Swordfish?
The plan is to actually be the most boring portrait mode user, of just putting the blank Word document into the portrait screen, and so I can see the whole page while I'm typing or reading.
Nice, man.
Yeah. So that's the goal, and it's all trying to keep it under a budget, trying to stay in a budget. I'm trying to be a nerd on a budget.
Hey, man. That's how you get the most creative, though. You can't just throw money at the situation. You gotta be wiry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Like, I'm trying to be active at journaling again. So far, it's been good. And one of the things that has been a little bit of an insight to me I've become more creative, or like I've used the things that I already own a lot more now that I'm trying to budget and keep to that budget, right, than I was with like, oh, I've got this a ton of money now to spend it all.
Right.
So it's like I would never have thought of like journaling on my computer when back in the day I was like, I'm just going to buy this Moleskin notebook, $20. Oh, that's fine. For some paper. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just not feasible, man. You know?
Yeah. So nerd on a budget. Also working on still working on the secret project. Wink, wink, Mike. hopefully we can tell more people about that in the future. Yeah. And I'm starting on an audio drama script. It's going to be short. There's a call for submissions to, I can't remember the audio production studio, but they're wanting some quick sci-fi short dramas. And I'm thinking about playing with the story idea that I had.
Yeah, man. Can I be a voice in your audio drama, dude? I could do voices.
Well, I wouldn't be the one recording it.
Oh, they would, right?
Yeah. I just send in the script and I get like $10. So.
Fair enough. Stuff like that. I'll ask them. Yeah. Hey, guys, I have no experience. Can I be a voice actor? They're like, get out of here.
That's the way to do it. No, that's the audio drama well, it's not as a Wild West show that it used to be, but it's still open. Like, I've had so many people tell, like, getting into the, this is kind of like nerd news relevant topics here. People, when they ask, like, how can I get started writing for audio drama? And the response usually is, you should start making your own,
pretty much.
And yeah, but the problem that I've always had with that is like, well, I'm wanting to write them, not make them. I want someone who's interested in producing it. And the problem is there's not enough of a market of people who go like, I want to produce other people's stuff.
Right.
There's still, like a few years ago, it used to just be like, well, in America, and the podcasting world, it would be like, I want to produce my own stories. But now you're seeing people branch out.
Yeah, man, that's usually the advice that they give young, inspiring, like comic book writers and artists and inkers. And like, how do I break into the comic books industry? They're like, simple, just make a comic book and then make another one and then make another one, right, until someone notices you. You know, and it's like, it's not okay, I guess I'll just do that. You know, that's why it takes a village. And you need like a squad. Unless you're just a one-man band, it can just do all that by yourself, but normally you need a squad of people to help you with that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, I try my best not to just focus on one style of writing. I want to be able to express myself in different avenues.
Yeah, like a jack of all trades.
And there's some things that I don't think would bode well. Like, there's been a few times where I've written a stage play and I go, that doesn't really that doesn't necessarily need to be stage play. It could be an audio drama, and I just flip things around. Or I go, like, I would like to write this particular story, but it would only work for a movie because I have envisioned, like, the tight story arc of, like, the Waterboy, the Adam Sandler's or the Seth Rogen style film. So, but that's enough about my week.
Nah, man, it seemed like you had a pretty productive week of self-reflection and budget gaming and budget being a budget gamer, man. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, well, my whole life is based on self-reflection. Yeah, so, man,
I can't stop thinking in my brain. It doesn't turn off ever. Yeah, man, it's like, you ever seen the Cell with Vincent D'Onofrio and Jennifer Lopez? Yeah, it's like that with the horses and you know what I'm saying? Remember the horse scene? Jesus.
That was my favorite
scene. Man, they dissected. I wasn't ready for that. It made a little horse noise. Oh, that movie is brutal, man.
Yeah. That my mom, that's so there's kind of like a running gag, I believe, in my house where my mom or my dad will remember like films and go like, this movie was the greatest, but they'll totally forget like certain like terrible scenes in particular films. Like there's the particular Cell scene where he's like suspended on hooks, we'll say.
Yeah.
You know, and my mom totally forgot that. My mom like recommended the movie The Piano to my sister to watch when she was like 14 or 15. And my mom just like, well, the story was like, good. Mom, man.
It gets real fast. So we...
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember one from my dad. Funny. I think his was probably Excalibur. Watching Excalibur, and there's like a pretty hardcore, non-consensual,
man, sex scene. Game of Thrones stuff goes on, man.
Yeah, yeah, non-consensual in the sense that he's masked himself as somebody else. Yeah,
that's super non-consensual. That's what they call
to Netflix and chill with this girl.
That's what they call the Revenge of the Nerds. You know what I'm saying? That's like,
I've never seen Revenge of the Nerds.
You never seen the original of Revenge of the Nerds, dude?
No.
Oh, man.
Send your angry comments to at Trashmuck. Make sure to follow.
Follow, though. If you're going to yell at me, at least follow me. Oh, man. Speaking of people being angry, let's go into the news, man. No, we're going to get sued. Stop. Screw it. Come at me, bro. I'm like that one wombat with his hands open arguing with the sun. Come at me, bro.
Yes. Speaking of coming at you.
Coming at you. Cleopatra coming at you. No one remembers that. Moving on.
Speaking of old stuff.
You're gonna have to keep segueing from my nonsense. That's what the whole show is.
This is the best way to. Speaking of nonsense, Andrew Lincoln to lead three Walking Dead movies. That's the awesome.
That doesn't make any damn sense. So they've been talking about this for like the last 6 months or something. Like, Andrew Lincoln is leaving Walking Dead. He's leaving the show. He's over it. This is all he's done. For like the past like 7 years or something nuts. It's like, can I be an actor? They're like, no, you have to be this character. And you think he's like escaping, right? It's like, okay, like this is it. They're gonna give his character a send off,
right?
Which makes no sense because he's the main character of the book in the show. And you're like, okay, they're moving on from him, but no, this man has tied himself to the ball and chain of three more movies of Walking Dead. That's a lot of time. That's a trilogy. So what, he's gonna have his own like Rick Grimes Gaiden outside of all the characters? Well, no one, only person that's around from the original series in the original book is like Michonne, right? Yeah. She's still around, right? Well, I don't follow.
There's some chatter I've heard. I've heard some people go like, if it's a prequel series, I'm done with The Walking Dead.
There's no way it could be a prequel series. Because then there would be no zombies.
No. If they gave me $1 million and go like, hey, give us a prequel series, it would be a two storyline arc of Andrew Lincoln as a cop. And then the other storyline would be the origins of why the zombie apocalypse is happening.
Oh, put the cat out of the bag finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, just say what's going on.
And it's clearly vampires, folks.
I would love for it to be something stupid like, oh yeah, Cthulhu just rise out of the ocean and just cause zombies.
Right. Or the movies themselves, they could be like a whole other, I don't know. I kind of would like to see them do like Old Man.
Old Rick. Man Grimes. Yeah, Old Man Rick. Like super future, you know what I'm saying? Where?
Yeah, like maybe you don't know that maybe he's by himself at this time and he's kind of just living off his, living on his own. And then you have a group of, like survivors who come on his property and like, we're being chased by these biker demons, our biker gang.
Demons.
Yeah. And he goes, all right, well, let me just get my badge.
Let me grab my boots.
And then Walking Dead ensues.
Have you ever read Why the Last Man?
No.
Dang, okay. I don't want to spoil Why the Last Man, but if for those who are in the know, I would prefer it to be like the ending of Why the Last Man. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil that. So, yeah, this is dumb. Let the man do other things. He obviously doesn't want to do Walking Dead anymore. But then again, he likes money.
Right. So they probably smacked him with some wads of cash.
Yeah. He was just like, guys, I'm really tired of it. And as he's talking, they're literally putting like money in a milk in a blender with milk. In like honey and pouring it on his head.
It worked well for William Shatner. You could be William Shatner.
That should be like a cautionary tale to all young actors.
Why? William Shatner was able to sell on eBay or online one of his kidney stones.
Good for him. You know. So that kidney stone could seek out new life and new civilizations?
Yeah, I could just imagine some freak fan going, I want this inside me.
Man. No, you just go into that freak fan's house and you see just a bunch of like replicas of the Starship Enterprise. You see just a really small one and you look at it harder. And that's his kidney stone. He like carved it into a miniature Enterprise. You smell it.
It's like, a modern kidney stone scrimshaw.
Yeah, man, it's like a ship in a bottle, but it's this kidney stone. Yeah. Gross.
Or like he's the one fan that only knows William Shatner from Boston Legal.
Oh yeah, no, not from what was it, from Tech Wars?
Yeah.
Like, what, Star Trek?
He's done other stuff.
What? Yeah. Danny Crane.
Boston Legal was a crazy show.
I was really big.
Before I would go on the high school bus. I would watch reruns on like TV Land before going to school.
Yeah. Boston Legal in The Practice. I used to watch a lot of The Practice. Yeah,
I was more of a Boston Legal fan myself.
I hear that, man.
I love me some. Okay, I was about to say I love me some, but it's James Spader, right?
Yeah, James Spader, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show was a trip. Speaking of actors in weird roles, apparently, it sucks because I would be like, Star Wars' own Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor finds some higher ground in this latest movie.
He has the high ground in Birds of Prey, the all-female DC Comics superhero movie that's going to come out eventually or be canceled. We don't know. DC doesn't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yet to be determined whether it is the chosen one. For CSB Fox, I'm Mark Fannin.
I can't even beat that. This movie is the chosen one. But yeah, Ewan McGregor is planning on playing the Black Mask, which is like a C-grade Gotham villain. Most people don't know what that villain is. I normally have these origin stories in like the back of my hand when these kind of things come up. But I don't even know who the Black Mask is, guys. He's just a gangster who wears a skeletal black mask on his face. And he's bad news. He's like a lamer king. He's like a lamer kingpin. An even lamer or a penguin. Because at least Penguin has like trick umbrellas and stuff. You know, he has things he can do.
I'm curious how they get like a... I'm wondering how it was chosen that Ewan McGregor would play the Black Mask. Like, did they like wave some money at him and then the negotiations were short?
I'm sure that's how all these things happen. You know, that's how you get Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul. You know, he's like, what? He's like a bat. Well, what?
The negotiations were short.
They were very short. He was like, I will find you and I will play him. We're really bad at this tonight.
No, I was good. There's going to be some listeners going, negotiations were short. That's from episode one. Oh!
You just made some Star Wars fans night right now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they just literally jumped out of the plate glass window in hype. Yes. Let's get through a couple of these other small ones before we get into the two big news things. Let's try to make balance
the fourth and not join them.
Wow. 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 Yeah. I feel like I was going to say something, a joke about younglings, but I decided against it. Speaking of, no, I'm not going to use that segue. So we finally got a picture of Mark Hamill as Geralt of Rivia in The Witcher, much to the dismay of the internet, because it doesn't look like what people want. It's the most surface problem ever. Because when you say Geralt of Rivia, The Witcher, everyone imagines Witcher 3 Witcher, where he has the beard and all the scars and he's old and he's at the end of his journey and whatever. But Henry Cavill is playing the book version of Geralt, which is young and spry, you know, and nobody understands that. Nobody cares to understand like where the look is coming from. It's like, why doesn't he have a beard? Like, that's not...
While the author is like, it's my time to shine!
And he just jumps off. He jumps off a cliff into the sunset. It's my time to shine. He just flies into the... He team rockets into the clouds.
Yes. Hold up. Before we go on with this, speaking of team rocketing into the clouds, I just clicked on this when looking at the Henry Cavill picture. Universal Pictures rebooting Shrek and Puss in Boots.
I saw that, and I decided to not put it on the docket.
That's good. May it burn in the sun. We don't need a reboot of that. It hasn't been long enough, you idiots.
And what's funny is they're saying, just to talk about that for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
The one thing I did want to say is that they're actually trying to get the original cast to come back. Is that still a reboot then?
It's not a reboot. What is going on in Hollywood? Jeez.
It's a restart. It's like...
Okay, I'm making it sound anyway, like... Okay. I needed to check myself. Like, I'm about to like explode over this. I have to measure it with how much explosion I gave for Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein. I cannot freak out about Shrek and Puss in Boots if I did not freak out about Kevin Spacey and Harvey Weinstein. Okay,
go ahead. That's a good mental checker.
Yes. Witcher's counseling session.
And this has been Winter's Counseling, winteralaboutcounseling.org. Speaking of things that just made me upset was the announcement of a Falcon and Winter Soldier TV series at the Disney streaming service.
Got the word winter in it. It's going to be good.
You know it's going to be dope. Got winter in it. What if Winter Soldier comes out of a car and he's like, aye, 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 would you just start suing people?
Yes. I'd be like, I'm joining the class action lawsuit with the writer of Witcher 3, and we are adding the Winter Soldier TV series into the mix. The
lawsuit.
Yeah.
Give me my money. Yes. Give me my money. And you may think, why does this make you mad? Aren't you like Marvel fanboy or whatever? It's like, A, no. But B, I would not confirm nor deny. Yeah. They're pretty much giving us a list of the people who survive Avengers 4. And that's kind of stupid to me. Like, don't worry, Scarlet Witch and Vision will be back because they're having their own TV show. Don't worry, Loki will be back because he's having his own TV show. Don't worry,
Falcon and the Winter Soldier
are coming back. It's so stupid. I'm like, can you hold your butt? Can you clench your butt long enough not to let this crap fall out?
Jeez.
Wait till the movie's out. Like, this is the most spoiler, non-spoiler thing in the world for anyone who thinks about it for more than like 10 seconds.
Yeah. You know what I mean? To me, it kind of smells like they're like, of course, they're trying to drum up business for the streaming service. The problem is, you're Disney. You don't need to drum up business. As soon as you go, there's no more Walt Disney Vault. All the movies are now available. People are going to go, give them money.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, who is this? This isn't some like indie Kickstarter that you're trying to get hype for. People are going to eat whatever you put in front of their plate. You know what I'm saying? Like, just wait. You don't need to spoil the movie by letting us know preemptively who makes it out or not.
Right. Like, I could see if they wanted to announce, like, if it was going to be, if they announced, like, ladies and gentlemen, we are teaming up with Oliver Stone to come up with a Winter Soldier TV series. I could see them wanting to make an announcement. But, yeah,
it's just like, it's a little too soon. It's like a Mitch Hedberg joke, you know?
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg jokes. No one got that reference. Okay. I'm going to move on from that.
Look at my life.
Look at this photograph.
Look at this graph.
Make me laugh. Okay, anyway. There's it's a two-part giant story. So let's get through the first one, which is the Nintendo Direct was this past week.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about Smash Brothers Ultimate. And there was a lot of stuff that came out about that game. Pretty much this is the final Nintendo Direct until the game just comes out, which is boasting a impressive 75-character roster, which is, ooh, I think, the largest roster of any fighting game ever. But then again, people will say that Smash is not a fighting game. To that, I don't feel like arguing. But there are a couple of things that were very interesting about this Direct, is that the new characters that were announced was the Echo Fighter for Ryu, which is Ken from Street Fighter, and how for some reason this Ken looks way better than any Ken that's come out of Capcom in like 10 years. Like, Nintendo just got it. It's like, why does this Ken look better than Street Fighter 5 Ken? Why does he look better than Street Fighter 4 Ken?
Nintendo.
Why does it look better than Street Fighter versus Tekken Ken?
Like, because we're Nintendo.
Just knows. Because they're Nintendo. And they know what the hell they're doing. The other character was some Pokemon that's like a fire, like a wrestling fire bear. Incineroar is the name, I believe. And the other joke character they announced that's coming out later is the little Venus flytrap plant from Mario 1, the ones that come out the pipes. That's kind of cute. Cool. I'm kind of hype about that. And also, there is a story mode, which pretty much says that Kirby from Kirby's Dream Land is indeed the most powerful celestial creature within the Nintendo universe, which makes I can sense. Agree with. It's Kirby. If it's all cute, he floats and he eats stuff and he's pink. But if you really pay attention to what Kirby's doing, he's like traversing space and time and stuff. The thing is, he's like the little Silver Surfer.
From Heroes.
He's like Hiro Nakamura, dog.
No, he's the guy that who takes people's powers or like with contact.
Peter Petrelli. Peter Petrelli. Yeah,
Peter Petrelli.
Not to mention that he has mimic powers.
How many years has it been of Heroes and you still have that locked in your brain?
Because I was that in. Yeah. I was such a Heroes mark. And yeah. I watched the entire thing to the end, and I was so disappointed.
Yeah. It was J.J. Abrams, right?
No, it was Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb, okay.
Garbage.
Why would I think it was J.J. Abrams?
Because you're probably thinking about J.J. Abrams did something else. It was another superhero-based thing. That was no J.J. Abrams. You remember they were trying to bring heroes back for a split second?
Yeah, they.
I think that was a J.J. Abrams. I think that was a J.J. Abrams thing. If I may be wrong though.
Because I was about to say, like, you're making like J.J. Abrams have like a mental, I don't want to say it, a mental high. There we go. With like someone's mentioning heroes, but it doesn't make sense now.
Heroes is the biggest disappointment in my life since Bleach. It goes Bleach and then Heroes as like monumental.
He connected with Lost.
Yeah, he was connected with Lost.
I was watching. I think I was in watching them around the same time together. Maybe.
I never got into Lost. I don't know.
Yeah,
I never much of a Channel 7 guy. But yeah, Smash Brothers Ultimate looks dope. When I eventually buy a Switch within the next 10,000 years, I'll play it. But yeah, the story mode looks dope, and how they just obliterate all the other characters in the cutscene is kind of nuts. Like pretty much a reverse Big Bang happens, and everything in the universe dies.
Yeah,
but Kirby, it's so metal. So
more
good.
Extreme Guardians. I mean, more extreme Avengers.
Yeah, it's pretty much it's like when Thanos snapped his finger, it took out the entire Nintendo Galaxy along with it.
Is this a Marvel Nintendo crossover?
Okay. Watch out for Thanos in Smash. He'll be dar.
Yeah.
Jeez. Speaking of things that are simply stupid, but also awesome, let's talk about BlizzCon, man. What all happened at BlizzCon, dude?
Miscommunication.
Now, this is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
Right. This is truly like, okay, let's talk about the good stuff first. Let's talk about the good stuff first. So yeah. I want to get into the Overwatch news and talk about the new character, Ashe. Did you have a good chance to look at her?
I looked a little bit at her. I think it's interesting that they chose the name Ashe. That is already a League of Legends character's name, but you know.
Interesting.
I guess they're running out of names to use.
Yikes. I guess this would be the ugly.
Yes, I'd like to offer my name for an Overwatch character.
Don't say that too loud. They'll take it.
Right. Well, if they use it like a kind of take a Grover looking character and make it like a trash bean that rolls around in a trash can that throws like trash at people, that'd be cool.
What if a Wrecking Ball had a trash monk skin? Would you be happy with that?
Yeah. So Jeffy Cap, get it done.
Yep, get it done.
Jeffy K.
So, you guys are on nickname basis.
Yeah. Hey, Cappy J.
Hey, how you doing? How's your mother? So Ashe is pretty much like a silver haired cowgirl who uses a rifle. I forget what kind of class is she. Is she offense, defense? What is she? I think she's.
Yeah,
offense.
I'll take a look at that.
While I talk about it, and her ult is she pretty much brings out this big cockney robot that comes and kind of unevens the playing field, which I think is kind of interesting. She pretty much, her ult is pretty much like her stand, if you guys are JoJo fans out there, and the guy just comes out and starts wreaking havoc and totally unbalances the team. And she looks really interesting. Like, that's one thing I like about Overwatch is that they've been hit or miss.
Yeah, I didn't find it yet, but I just had to say the first comment that I read was, Overwatch looks so fun, but if you've not been playing it since launch, you'll suck at it. Everyone will hate you on your team, so it's best to not get it at this point.
No, man. If you're doing competitive, get good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you can play free rounds. I've never touched competitive Overwatch, not even a little bit. When I play it, I just want to jump in for like 2 or 3 hours. Go on free play, go on mystery, play it on mystery character, and just brain dead, have a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's damaged.
I don't want to feel the... Huh?
She's a damage class.
She's a damage, damage class? Makes sense. So I'll give her a shot. It's gonna update on my system anyway. I have no control over that. So when she's out, I'll give her a shot. Maybe she'll get me back into the game because Brigitte didn't do it for me. what was the Wrecking Ball didn't do it for me. In what's her face, Moira didn't do it for me. So maybe this would be the character.
Well, they're not for you, back. Mike.
Dang it!
Stop appropriating these characters.
Damn, I guess not. I just they weren't my cup of tea.
Your privilege is showing. I'm saying. Your Overwatch privilege is showing.
Wow, dang! I could be starving right now. How dare I? How dare I be so ungrateful? Speaking of ingrates, let's go into. No, I want to save that one for last. I know you wanted to talk about the announcement of Warcraft 3 Remake.
Warcraft 3 Reforged. So.
Metal.
Yeah, Warcraft 3 looks like it's going to be remastered. So it looks like it's similar to their StarCraft remastered, but the language that they're using is clearly not the same that was put into StarCraft. Like, I believe they had like a team of people working on rebalancing that game, or like they had, I don't know, it just seemed like they had more people working on that than they do with this. Now, I could be wrong, that's just my personal feeling of that. But they are doing some patches. They are trying to do some balancing of the game. They are taking apart, retconning a few storylines from the game.
Yeah,
with World of Warcraft.
That's big news too,
right? The question I want to know is: was there truly a big market for Warcraft 3? Like, it's news to me that there are tournaments of people playing Warcraft 3. Playing, I don't even have to say Warcraft 3, just Warcraft. And I mean, but compared to StarCraft though, their Warcraft is not as big in the, we'll say, the organized gameplay world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think every once in a while, like, these companies are obligated to have a con every single year, no matter what is ready to be shown.
Right.
And I think, like, this is kind of like a middle of the road con, where the big news may be coming out in the next year or so, but they needed something now. So think of this remaster of Warcraft 3 like Fallout 76. You know what I mean? They can't necessarily announce Fallout 5 or Elder Scrolls, whatever. So
yeah,
this is a good middle of the road. Bide our time. Probably their B team or their C team is remastering this and making it nice and shiny, just to slake the hunger of Warcraft fans until the next big thing comes out. So I have nothing wrong. I have nothing against it. Just like, fine. Some people are gonna love that, because it's like, if they told me like one of my favorite games was being remastered from the ground up and having little changes and stuff, I'll be hyped for that. You know what I mean? Like if they were like Borderlands 2 remastered, I would play that. I would buy that again. You know, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you, dog. I feel you, dog.
Some people didn't feel something. Yeah. A lot of people were quite upset, actually, on this next and final news bit.
Here we go.
Which is, so, you know how conferences like E3 and stuff, Sony will show their press conference, and then everyone thinks it's over, right? Everything's about over, and they say, "Hey guys, we got one more thing," and the crowd goes nuts. What could it be? Right? It's a Final Fantasy VII remake. We don't know. So you get real hype. And these guys at Diablo, mind you, this is the Diablo conference, and everyone loves Diablo 3, which is coming to the Switch. And that's big news for them. Mm-hmm. And everyone's waiting. Diablo 4 is coming out. Is it Diablo 4? It's got to be Diablo 4. And people have flown in from all across the world to come see this show. And they get to the final thing. And it is Diablo Immortal, the mobile game. And it's the most disturbingly awkward thing I've seen at a con in a very long time, where they actively start audibly booing during the presentation of the game.
Yeah. That's,
the whole crowd.
That's your quickest form of polling.
Like, dude, yeah, right, right? It's like, I don't know. Like, something's rotten in the core of gamers lately. And it kind of reminds me of Evo, where the freaking, during the Smash tournament, cats were booing the grand finals because they were playing as Bayonetta fans. I mean, Bayonetta character. They were playing as Bayonetta.
Right.
And they were actively booing during grand finals. And it's like, how, as a culture, do we feel like this behavior is acceptable? Do they have the right to boo during something like that? Like, audibly boo, like howling. Is that cool? Like,
I think it is. I mean, as soon as, if you're having, if you're at an event that it is okay to applaud, then it means that it is also okay not to applaud and actually have the net reverse reaction of showing approval, which is booing. If it was not okay, then you would go, please hold all applause to the end, or please don't. I would say mostly, like, yeah, please save all applause to the end, which cannot happen because gamers don't follow the rules.
They don't follow the rules, man.
Monster. So it's just an oversight, I say. Like it's hard for me to get excited whenever I hear, well, first of all, we have the port to the Nintendo Switch. It's hard for me to get excited about ports because you're essentially going, first of all, okay, you've been spending this whole time formatting a game for a different console. Okay.
Right.
Or like, and essentially it's like, I'm saying it's like a lot. You just move some figures around and like, boom, it's for this console. I don't understand why it takes so long. And I predict that there's actually programs that people can use to format it for particular things. Yeah. So yeah. I can't get excited about that. I never got excited about like Doom virtual reality or Skyrim virtual reality. Like, okay, why don't we work on some new content?
You know, what's funny is that you mentioned Skyrim, and a very similar thing happened at the Bethesda conference this E3, right? So everybody's like whispering Skyrim's Elder Scrolls. And what is Bethesda come out with? Elder Scrolls Blades, which is this weird mobile game that nobody cares about, right?
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, but they weren't actively, it wasn't the last thing of the show, right? And two, it was dead center. So everybody was just kind of, move on, right?
But those were at the crowd of reporters and also people who have a lot of money, would you say, going to E3?
True.
When BlizzCon's not necessarily meant just for reporters, it's meant for like the average fan base.
But do you think that, but there's been some gnarly E3s where, you know, like Microsoft has put out like something and it got kind of hairy. You know what I mean? Like even the reporters started losing their cool. Right. You know what I mean? But then again, the point I was making was, is that, but then again, you have Bethesda who just announces that they're working on, Elder Scrolls. There's no trailer. There's no title. It's nothing. But the fans are like, okay, at least we know you're working on it. That's all you needed to do, right?
Yeah.
Just say Diablo 4 exists on somebody's server somewhere. Don't worry about it. And the fans would have been like, okay, fine. You know, I don't think it would have had that guttural reaction. And then these geniuses decide to have a Q&A after that announcement. And there were a couple of fans that came out the audience, and one was like, so do you plan on porting this to the PC, like this Immortals game? It looks neat, but you know, all the people here are kind of PC PC Master Race, guys.
Yeah.
Are you porting this to the PC? And the guy's like, no, this is a mobile experience throughout now and forever.
Bo!
You know
what I mean?
Bow. And then one guy had the nerve to go up there and say, is this a extremely late April Fool's joke? He said that on mic on a live show. And the guy is pretty much just chewing his own hat. The announcer guy's like, well, no, this is an online, I mean, this is a mobile experience that will enrich the lore of, and it's just such marketing BS, right. You know? And I just feel, yeah, I don't feel bad.
The mobile wagon.
I get it, but yeah. You don't close your show out to these guys with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a bad move. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, there's nobody wants that.
And just to be the contrarian here, there's bad on both sides. There's bad on Blizzard for going like, you're closing out your conference with a mobile game. But then it's like the people who are there need to get over themselves and go like, I bet they did not get this upset with when other companies came out and like heavily promoted mobile games that they enjoy and they witnessed. So I think we just have to keep it all in perspective.
Yes, people, please. And that goes back to my original statement was that behavior acceptable? You know what I mean? At in a conference where these people are, you know, putting out their product. Yeah. And it's just because it's something that you don't necessarily want or like, do you boo that person?
I would still say you can boo it. But what happens is that people don't just boo. They then go like, boo, they're such a piece of crap. What are they doing? Well, they should get fired. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you need to lay off Reddit for a minute.
And relax.
Yeah.
Right.
Drink some Mountain Dew. And,
you know, the scrub lords, man.
Sia.
Yeah. Think about what you're going to type for maybe 10 seconds before you type it out. I don't know. I feel bad for those devs a little bit, but at the same time I'm like, come on guys, you had to have known what to expect pulling that rabbit out the hat with this crowd,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, there's guys literally there hugging their CPUs waiting to hear the news that Diablo 4 is coming out in 4K. They're just sitting there drooling at the mouth waiting for this information. You hit them with that, that's what you send them home with? Like, come on guys, get it together. Don't do that. That's not smart. Nobody wants a Legos game. I'm not going to say that. There's some people who love Legos games.
Yeah, maybe
maybe I want one. I mean, just, you don't close out a conference, I don't care how big or small, with a wet fart. You know what I mean? You just, unless that's your thing.
Maybe with the wet fart convention. Did you know that?
Then you close it out with a wet shart.
I'm sorry. It was not the Sega convention. It was not Konami. Okay.
It was not Konami. Hey-o.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at them from last week. Oh, man.
So are you going to go? Are you going to? What other news was there?
That's it.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but we're about at that. It's about that time of the podcast.
About that time of the podcast.
Unless there's anything, unless there's something you want to bring up, something I may have missed, or there's news that you want to bring to the listeners of the Nerdiverse.
Yeah, I'll just give you a quick review of a Netflix show that I'm watching, Designated Survivor. if you thought West Wing was full of itself, just wait till you watch Designated Survivor. I'm talking, it's like if Tom Clancy and Aaron Sorkin got together and made a TV show.
Wow.
Because there is like political espionage, secret alliances, trying to take down the designated survivor of for the president of the United States after the president and a bunch of Congress die. And along with the vice president, and an explosion in Washington, D.C. That's how they start the show. And then it goes to like sappy presidential lines that would never probably be said, or like it will show him like shaking hands and like eating pie with family members. He's like, "This pie is better than my grandma," and then the whole crowd laughs. And then this is like, I believe it's an actual line where one of his staff members goes, "The president's good at hobnobbing with the people. He's good at acting it." And then the other person goes, "He's not acting it. That's the real him." And then here, cue the snappy music. And then Kiefer Sutherland is, by the way, the president in this show. And then it's just cut to credits. And it's like, I cannot stop watching it, because it's the television version of Muzak.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
White noise, man.
Yes. Like, I can be folding laundry. I can be solving world hunger while this is in the background.
Okay. Yeah. Quick question.
Subway is the answer to solving world hunger.
We're going to get that Subway endorsement out by hook or by crook. Yeah. Dang it. Who's your favorite fictional president? Go.
Ooh, Morgan Freeman.
Okay, I was going to say President Camacho from Idiocracy, but that's my favorite fictional president. Come on, it's Terry Crews.
It's dressed like Uncle Sam. Idiocracy's too real, bro.
I've taken one semester of philosophy classes.
I can pretty much determine that Idiocracy is an allegory
of the
American dream.
We're so smart here at the Nerdiverse.
It makes me sick.
Oh, man. It makes me sick. Dang it. Or it has to be Tiny Zeus Lister as the president in Fifth Element. That's another one of my favorite presidents.
That's cool. I can handle that.
I just want a real buff, imposing, kingpin-looking president.
Hey, that's like whatever Hirosaki. You want in your house, that's fine with me.
I want Teddy Roosevelt again, kind of. Yeah, just go around socking people, telling them to do right.
Yeah.
Hey, obey the law. He just punches you.
If I can be this guy, and I'm going to go there, I would like to have an FDR type of president nowadays. Just to see how in the world they could pull off people not knowing that he's crippled.
It was an illusion, though.
You would have newspapers going, "Bat Boy has been sighted in Saddam Hussein's house." In other news, the president's a cripple. Not to be offensive to the American disability population.
Nah, man, just, you know, it'd be kind of crazy. It'd be like Industrial Lights and Magic, you know what I mean?
Yes. Cut to an Oliver Stone 3.5-hour film. I'm talking about, it was the Cubans that crippled him.
It was the Cuban Missile Crisis, yeah. Man. It was too much on his
to the left of the head. Shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
On that note, what are you looking forward to, man?
I don't know. I keep the hardcore, my hardcore jokes at the end of the episode, just for the people who stayed throughout the whole.
If you stay through the whole thing, you've earned the Shin Winter.
Yes.
Unreleased energy winter.
Like I said, I'm going to install my video card when it comes in. I got a new screen coming. I'm going to set that up. I'm going to just keep trucking with everything. I need to write. It's about, to keep with my writing schedule, I need to write about 1,500 words a day. And so far, it's been pretty good.
Good, man. Keep it up, dude.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to keep playing Soul Calibur 6 and trying to get good. I started playing it on arcade stick and not pad. And it's so much fun. It's like a completely different game. In fact, I'm going to play some Soul Calibur 6 right after the show on my arcade stick. It's like learning it all over again. It's so much fun. Now that October's over and we're back to our regularly scheduled program, I'm just got to think about new content for this month and kind of what themes I want to do for the show. And what collaborations we want to do. A new movie, a new MLTM reviews will be out this week alongside this episode. So look forward to that. Give me your hands, balls. Other than that, definitely want to work on this project with Winter. So we're working on this project together. So I have to do my end of the bargain when it comes to the project. So we'll be talking about that together and hopefully talking about that with you fairly soon. Do you have any passing thoughts, Winter, before we close this bad boy out?
Yeah. Keep on the sunny side of the street.
Okay. And if you like sunny side eggs, there's something wrong with you. Shots fired. Oh, right in the belly. Don't eat them, guys. Runny eggs are gross.
Yeah. Sorry. Can't. And also check out Trash Monk. I. That's Trash Monk.
The IIIs are only getting spicier going forward, man.
No,
they're only going to get spicier.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to handle them.
If we ever do MOTN Con, if that was ever a thing that actually happened, I could just see a wave of trash minions going.
You know what's gonna break you, right?
Yeah.
Sometime in the far flung future, we're going to be at some convention, like scum lording it up, and some little kid's gonna walk up and he's gonna be a trash monk. It is gonna make you cry.
it's gonna make you cry. Go like beat up your parents. They failed you.
fight your parents. Become a true trash monk.
Take them to the ring.
give them a slobber knocker.
Yeah.
Just fight them. Fight them.
Unless your parent, your mom is single. Okay, so let.
Wow. Wow. Like he said, man, if you stay to the end of the episode, you get true Winter, man. Unstoppable. I can't contain him, guys.
Single.
And ready to mingle. It's like Kramer on the Seinfeld episode where they were doing the mail auction. They were like, he likes fruit. He like falls on the stage and like collapses into a group of people.
Ever eaten the bark of a pineapple?
Oh, this is going off the rails. Mm-hmm. If you love this type of slapstick comedy and want to support the show monetarily, visit our Patreon, where you can donate as low as $1 a month to help support the show, and have it sound bigger, better, and stronger. If you just want to support the show non-monetarily, you can do it just by simply however you're listening to us in the big old internets, leaving a comment if you wanted to join the conversation, and subscribe if you want to keep up to date with all MOTN action. I have, of course, been your host, Mike G.
And I have been your armchair hostess with the mostest, Winter.
So smooth. You're smoother than the butter on a jar of Skippy, baby. And we will always ask you to take that one step beyond.
Smooth as Billy D. Williams and malt liquor.
Smoother than that Colt 45 malt liquor.